Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., joins us as he does every Wednesday at this hour. Michael, welcome to the show. Okay, we got a little bit of a technical difficulty. We'll get him right back on here in a second. In the second half of this hour, we're going to visit with C. Scott Kennedy, owner of Tombola Strategy. They've released a white paper addressing risk rating 2.0 impacts on premium affordability relative to your flood insurance. Hearing a number of horror stories as to the amount of premium that people are facing under this new risk rating 2.0 scheme, some folks as high as $11,000 and $12,000 for flood insurance alone, making home ownership in some areas really cost prohibitive when you look at the increases in homeowner insurance policies across the region. I was talking to someone this morning whose rate went up 80%. When you start thinking about that, I have a similar experience, not that high, but it gets to be a little bit cost prohibitive. We'll visit with C. Scott Kennedy in the second half of this hour. We got Michael Heck back. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Sorry about that false start. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself? How was the London trip? How did it work out? I know you guys hosted a number of things out there in the hopes of having folks invest here in our area. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was a good trip. It was a short trip for me, but the meetings that were had, including the one the governor had with Lloyd's of London and with energy companies like Cheniere, are significant. Lloyd's of London, that kind of speaks to the second conversation you're going to have with Scott Kennedy. We're trying to understand our insurance situation here, particularly in South Louisiana, and it's about flood insurance, it's about PNC, and trying to understand how we can bring in more insurers and more reinsurers so that we can actually live here in an affordable way. So those meetings were useful. Talking about natural gas is obviously a huge opportunity for us here in Louisiana, trying to wean Europe and Germany particularly off of Russian natural gas. Big opportunity for Louisiana, as we already supply about 55% of the LNG that goes over to Europe. And then, of course, we had the game. And, you know, the game itself didn't work out that well. But I got to tell you, it was kind of great being there. It was basically a home game. 60,000 fans, probably 59,000 of them seemed to be from New Orleans. And it was kind of nice watching a game outside, you know, having the sun in your eyes and the breeze in your hair. So it was a good short trip, but productive both personally and professionally.
And then you had the double doink field goal right at the end. You talk about having a heart attack. I mean, it was like,
well, you know, the problem, Newell, we've been spoiled. You know, we got so used to during the Drew Brees era that we would have these games. They would come down to the final 2 minutes and we would win. And that was just like how we rolled. And so when it doesn't happen like that now, you know, it's heartbreaking. But I'll tell you, the real thing that I was frustrated with, and I think a lot of folks are, is the refereeing. And what I can't understand for the life of me is that you've got a league where you have these teams that are worth billions of dollars, very wealthy owners, and yet somehow we don't employ and pay full-time referees. And then we complain about the quality and the lack of consistency with the reffing and these calls like the PIs, which can totally change a game in an arbitrary way. And it just seems with a league with that much value, you would, you know, find your cadre of professional referees and pay them enough to just be the very best in the world and do nothing but that. But instead, we get part-time CPAs and, you know, as a result, get some pretty sketchy calls.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, give us an update as to the NOLA Coalition. We had an individual on yesterday, was really good from, I forgot the name of his company.
Arnold Baker, right?
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I was trying to remember the name of his company. But anyway, did a really great job talking about why he's involved, his feelings about the coalition. And if he's any indication as to the sentiment of other members, we're in a good place.
Well, I think we're in a good place because the citizens have come together and are speaking with one voice again. And look, I think, you know, well before the NOLA Coalition came together, you were talking about this, Newell, the need for the citizens of New Orleans and the region to stand shoulder to shoulder and start demanding accountability and start demanding better results. And I think the reason why the NOLA Coalition has grown so quickly, I mean, we're almost up to 450 members now. We just broke 200 on the nonprofit side, is because there was this pent-up demand, this pent-up energy, and we just kind of provided a vessel for people to pour this energy into. And leaders like Arnold Baker are, you know, just indicative of the type and quality of individual who are part of this. I, you know, I could see once we get through this rough patch on crime, the NOLA Coalition going on and becoming a force in other areas where we have to stand together on infrastructure, on mental health services, on any reform where together we're going to be able to drive action and we're not going to let politics or social media divide us any longer.
Yeah. We obviously are facing a number of challenges. The mayor is sending a lot of mixed messages, Michael, on many different fronts. A new police monitor report comes out. In many cases, this is kind of getting dicey. Your thoughts?
Well, in you know, the enemy of business is uncertainty. And when you think about some of the places that are doing best in the country today, they're not the most exciting places. There are places like Charlotte or Plano, Texas, but they're certain and they're steady. And so I think the more that we can do to calm down the noise and just focus on the fundamentals, which are our public safety and education and infrastructure, and putting out a positive narrative about all the extraordinary elements of New Orleans that the world loves, the better. All of these reports and mixed messages, which are just, you know, absolute catnip to social media and, you know, the Twitterati, they're not helpful, because every time we're having to spend our mental energy or discussing or talking them away, it means that we're not telling the positive story or working on progress. So, yeah, I would love for this to settle down and to be able to get back to the day job.
You know, earlier in the show, I talked about the Good Morning America interview with the mayor. And all she did was place blame. And my observations were, if you're going to be a credible leader, you have to put politics aside, your feelings about individuals, personal differences aside. You got to bring everybody together. We got to be singing off the same sheet of music. We're not right now. And I just think this divisive tone that's being articulated by this mayor, it will continue to be a problem. And, you know, I just don't understand why we just can't admit where some of our failures are individually and collectively. That's fair. And move on.
Well, it's a very American thing, and I would hazard, you know, a very Catholic thing to forgive for mistakes and sins. And so, yeah, sometimes just saying, you know, in retrospect, that wasn't the right thing to do, we should just move on, is really all that people want. I don't think that folks from me talking to them are enjoying the constant stream. They're not enjoying the pile on. But you also have to give people a plausible out. And that plausible out, I think, sometimes is saying we could have done better and we're going to going forward and just stepping it up like that. So no, you're not wrong, and I know that in this city, what we're seeing here, and this is a bigger issue, is really a structural issue. We have a strong mayor city, and so the mayor and the governor, and as a strong governor state, really matter a lot. And you look at some other places around the country that are doing very well, whether it's Dallas or San Antonio or Raleigh or Phoenix, and they have more of a city manager system where the mayor is still there and is absolutely the figurehead, but there is a professional who is doing the day-to-day management of making the trains run on time, literally and figuratively. And so I think once we get through this patch, we also should start thinking about structurally, are there things we can do differently in this city to make the conversation that you or I are having right now less important, so we can focus more on the actual issues of running the city on a day-to-day basis?
Because not only do we have domestic challenges here in the region, we have challenges at the state level, we have challenges nationally and internationally. In spite of what is somewhat of a positive economic outlook, you talk about that, the most recent findings of Lauren Scott, the economist, about job growth here, 12,200 jobs over the next 2 years. There are indicators that we're going to have additional challenges. In fact, the World Trade Organization just this morning downgraded their growth rate from 3.4% down to 1%. And they said the global economy is slowing at a faster rate than many had expected. These are headwinds that we are going to be facing. And the best way for us to beat back on those headwinds, as you well know, is to do it collectively and collaboratively together.
That's right. I think the most frustrating thing at the local and regional level, Newell, is that if you look out objectively at the opportunity that we have in trade with building the new container facility, at energy with the potential for us to lead in offshore wind, at advanced manufacturing with everything that's going on at Mishu, in healthcare with the emergence of us as a center for neurological care, even with tech, where we're one of the most inclusive tech economies in the country. There's a lot that you could argue there's more to be optimistic about than there even was coming out of Katrina when we had that great momentum. But we're spending a lot of time playing defense on issues like public safety and quality of life and our brand. And so it's a very strange world, because when people ask me, how's it going, I say locally, you know, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And if we can accentuate the positive and mitigate the negatives, we should be on a great trajectory. But then in terms of the uncertainty nationally and internationally, there's no doubt that we're going through change as a country and as a world. And, you know, these big changes tend to happen every 70 or 80 years. I mean, you can do the math and figure out what happened 70 or 80 years ago. And so I think the best thing that we can be doing here locally is getting our house in order, getting our balance sheet in order, getting our strategy set so we can take advantage of these changes. You know, an example of this is the changes coming out of COVID. Those communities, the smaller ones, secondary and tertiary, that have a good brand, that have good value for dollar, are attracting scores of workers that are leaving places like New York City and San Francisco because they can't stand living there anymore. Those places are taking advantage of this turbulence. And so I think that's what I'd love us to be in position to locally and as a state, is to be in a position to take advantage of these changing world trends. For example, the repatriation of supply chain, so that we can emerge from this turbulence in an even better place.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all of the assets that we have, from the port, what we do in the Gulf, how that translates into the wind, other folks just don't know how to do offshore construction like we do. There's so many opportunities for us here locally. And you're right, I believe, just as you said, when we go through the list, there are more opportunities than there are deficiencies that we face. But the problem, and I think the frustrating thing, and I think you'll agree, where we're missing is like some of the easiest stuff to connect the dots on. And it mystifies me.
Well, it's the blocking and tackling stuff. I mean, you could build this stuff in a pyramid. All the opportunities that we talked about are dependent upon having the lowest level of Maslow's, you know, hierarchy in place, which is basically life safety. And so we got to get that stuff locked down, and then the opportunities are going to happen naturally. I mean, look, the definition of economic development that I like to use is that it's not about incentives. It's not about ribbon cuttings. It's about creating the conditions where a business wants to invest its capital and a person wants to raise their family. If you get that stuff on lock, then all your challenges are going to be growth challenges, right? Too many people,
right.
You know, too much. And look, I would much rather have growth challenges than stagnation challenges. So, yeah, it's back to basics. And most of these challenges are not challenges of ideas. They're not challenges of money. They're challenges of organization and execution.
Michael, real quick, some reporting in and around DXC technology not reaching their initial target. As I was reading through some of the articles that were written, I, like you, probably feel like, well, we're still ahead of the game. I mean, they decided, as you just pointed out, to invest their money, move people here, hire people here. It's still a positive.
Yeah. Well, if I told you, just up front that we have a multi-billion-dollar company moving in here and they're going to put in 300 jobs at an average salary of $93,000 a pop, translating over $3 million in tax revenue every year for the city and state, and you'd say, man, that's great news. That's a home run. The only problem is this thing got framed as 2,000 jobs, and on that current trajectory, they would have been at about 1,200 now, not 300. So, look, it is fair to call it a disappointment in that relative context. You know, it is. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we are very fortunate to have this company here committed to the city and region. It has plans to grow. And it's just the reality of the world we live in today that you mentioned, all the turbulence that they went through, a corporate restructuring, COVID hit. Not as many people are going to the office, so they're getting rid of some of the floors. And reality is that folks at the local and state level have been working with DXC very hard to make sure that they're now stable and positioned to grow. So just important to understand both sides of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.